Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and we are here at a Tough Talk Christian Radio show every Thursday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. There's a lot of shows that come out of the network, so if you're interested in learning about the different shows, you can go to toughtalkradionetwork.com and check out the other shows and see if you want to be a follower, a listener, or a guest. Today, we have a great show lined up, as we always do, and we have two special guests coming on today, two ladies speaking about, just the different ways that Christ has moved in their lives and what it is that they've had to overcome and how they've never given up. Some of the things that I like to mention is that what I learned from this show is that when you hear other people's journeys and what they've been through and how the Lord has worked with in their lives, it's real easy to get charged up and move forward and try to maintain that effort of being more Christ-like, okay? But what happens an hour after the show is over? Where are you then? Has it worn off? It's kind of like in the morning when you get up, if you spend some quiet time reading your Bible. What happens in an hour after you're done? Does it wear off? Do you forget? Do you get busy? Do you get moving? I find myself doing that, and then I find myself giving myself a hard time about it. And one of my guests today, my first guest, talks about, in her book, missteps that we've taken and how God will still accept us in a relationship. And one of the things that I find interesting is every day, it seems lately, I'm getting busier and busier, and I'm starting to find reason why I can't spend quiet time first thing in the morning. So today I decided that I'm going to be getting up 20 minutes earlier every day so I can eliminate that excuse that I don't have enough time. So maybe that means that I have to go to bed 30 minutes earlier at nighttime. Not really sure. But my commitment is there because I want to stay committed and be obedient to giving praise and time to the Lord every day, first thing in my day. Now, I know that you don't have to do it the first thing in your day. It's whatever's best for you. But for me, that's where it lies. That's where I need to be. And I also need to remember, throughout the day to have that conversation again and again and again so that I can stay on point with that. Because it's very easy in our fast-paced world to get off point, to even know where we're going, why we're going, how we've gotten there, let alone be able to look and see the rewards that God's putting in front of us, the blessings that He gives us constantly, and the things that we're able to overcome without even recognizing, without even hard work sometimes. But it's always easier to look back down the path to see it. It's always hardest to see it during the time. And that's why you have to stay committed to having faith in the Lord to make sure that you will be able to go forward knowing no matter what, it's what you need to do to survive anything properly. So, my name is Tony Gambone. I'm here every Thursday, as I mentioned, from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time on Tough Talk Christian Radio. We're always looking for people to come onto the show and share their message, the miracles that have happened in their lives. I'm a big believer that God put us all here to share a story, and the story is our own. Now, I've heard people say that everyone has a story, but not everyone should be able to share it. I don't necessarily believe that. I believe that God gave us all a story, and we need to share it at the right time. But most important, we need to share it with ourselves. We need to recognize it first so that we can move forward and accept the blessings that are in our lives instead of focusing on the negatives. So what we're going to do here this morning is take a little commercial break. We're going to come back. We're going to bring out my first guest. A young lady by the name of Sonia McGirt. And, she's out of North Carolina. And we're going to talk to her about a book, A Woman's Journey, Living Through Christ Vicariously. And before we do that, let's just make sure everybody knows you can call into the show at 347-989-1363 and ask questions, join the conversation. You can just dial in and just listen by phone. You can hit us up on Facebook under Tough Talk Radio Network, or find me, Tony Gambone, on Facebook. Find us on Twitter, LinkedIn, everywhere that you can type in a space. You can type in my name or Tough Talk Radio Network, and you'll find us. I hope you'll connect with us. I hope you'll give us a chance to learn more about who you are, and I want to say thank you for following our show. So we're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back in a few seconds.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Texas Authors, Inc. is the only nonprofit organization that supports and markets Texas authors exclusively. We have created proven programs and events that give an author the extra boost in knowledge and skills to sell their book. Join us at txauthors.com.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone, and as I mentioned, I'm here every Thursday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now, my first guest is a young lady by the name of Sonia McGirt, and she's married with three children. She's obtained her master's in social work back in 2007, and currently in college to obtain her master's in organizational management. Now, married, three girls, gone to school, huge responsibilities. But, you know, women take on so much and are so good at multitasking. But let's find out more about Sonia by just taking her down that road and allowing her to give us some answers. Sonia, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tony. Thank you.
Now, Sonia, I'm reading here you're married with three girls. How old are your girls?
I have one that's seven, one that'll be 13 in June, and one that'll be 17 in November.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so you stay very busy, and you're going to school as well?
I am. I'm getting my second master's, as you said. I'm also thinking about my doctorate, but haven't really decided. I write books. I'm thinking about another business endeavor with a friend, and I homeschool my seven-year-old also. So, yeah, pretty busy.
Yeah, so, wow, that's a lot of work. Plus, you have a husband to take care of.
I do.
Yeah, so you have four children, and you're doing a lot of things. So let's jump back a little bit here in life, and, you know, before marriage and, you know, before the three girls and all that stuff, were you always a follower of the Lord?
No. As a child, we didn't attend church regularly. We went here and there. I knew about God, but I didn't get saved to where I understood. Like, when I was younger, I think I went with a friend to the mountains and supposedly got saved at a church and baptized in the river, but I really didn't understand what it was. I think I was 18, and I was almost scared into it because we had I had gotten to a wreck with a friend of mine, and it was pretty bad. It hit on my side, and I was at church, and I had my crutches, and I felt the Holy Spirit, and that's when I first got saved. But I didn't always live that Christian life either.
Yeah, so I find that the more and more people I talk to, when things spectacular in their lives happen, like, well, it's just even like the car wreck, right? Who would have thought that that's the purpose behind that, was to bring you to church and, you know, allow you to find your way through the Holy Spirit in that direction. So I always find it interesting how people have found their way to church. And the battle of staying committed to the process of following God. I mean, It's almost impossible, but we try very hard. And you seem to have put it in a book, okay, A Woman's Journey, Living Through Christ Curiously. And we'll talk about, you just finished up your first kid's book, and you're going into, so you're in writing mode. But let's talk about the book, A Woman's Journey. Is this based off of the journey you've been through?
Yeah, basically. It's stuff that I feel like I've learned along the way, trying to help anybody else that'll read it. I've actually had some men read it also. They actually said it was for them too. So it's about your everyday walk with God, just trying to, like you said, take the time up with Him, because we tend to find excuses not to. And to me, it's an excuse. I make them every day if I don't, you know, I was too tired, I fell asleep, I didn't get up early enough to do it. And then next thing I know, my day's full of everything else and not of God. So it's in regards to all of that stuff. It's a lot of different things. It's it ranges from your walk with Christ to marriage to anxiety, which I had struggled with, to spending time with your family and so forth. So it's a lot of stuff. I kind of didn't focus in on one thing on this book. I think my next book will be more focused on certain topics and so forth. That's how I'm going to do the next ones that I do.
Now, you and your husband operate a Christian nonprofit called Crossroads Christian Counseling Center.
We do.
And how long have you been doing that?
I think it's been 3 years, almost 3 years. What started it out was, I don't know, I had just been praying, and everybody said I would need a lawyer to help me with the paperwork, and, you know, the funds would be hard to get by, and because we're a family of one income, well, minus the books and things like that. But and so I did some fundraisers and got all the money together to actually turn in the paperwork, and I did the paperwork myself and just prayed over it and sent it, and it got approved. It's mainly for my husband more so than me. I do the counseling part when I can. I have a phone number that anybody can call that, you know, needs to talk or needs some insight. But he started working with the homeless after he got saved or rededicated his life. And so it was basically for that. We used to put him in hotels, and when it's cold here or it's snowing, try to help with their medical when they don't have the money. Just different things is mainly what we focused on. Job readiness, if we could help them with that, pretty much anything.
Now, it's a nonprofit, but is this your source of income as well?
No. I don't really pull in a lot of money from it. We've kind of let it, I don't want to say slack, but we have been slack on it lately because we're transitioning into possibly moving to Georgia. So we haven't been doing as much with it this year. For me, it's not about the money. It doesn't really bother me if we have it or not. It was a lot of the people just gave to us in order to help others. So it wasn't, I never applied for grants or anything like that. It was mainly just caring people that wanted to help is how we did it. And we haven't, like I said, ran it this year. So it's still there. We just haven't been utilizing it lately.
So you've written your first kid's book. What made you decide to do that?
I actually went to bed one night and I had a dream about Sam, which he's a duck, and about Julie, which is the alligator in the story. And when I got up in the middle of the night, I kind of jotted down my dream, and I got up and started working on it and had it illustrated and finished within a couple of months. So it was pretty quick. That one came about real fast.
And what do your girls think of you as an author?
The little one loves it. I mean, when Sam first came out and she got a book, I have a picture of her on my Facebook, and she was reading it. I think she read it 10 times in one day. My older ones, they don't talk as much about it. Their friends will say, oh, your mom's an author, you know, and Sarah will be like, yeah. But, you know, kids are so nonchalant now. They're not, their excitement is if they get a new phone or if they get their nails done, or their excitement is so different than when I was growing up. They think about things other than what I did, definitely, when I was younger.
Now, have you thought about writing a book that would direct towards teenagers?
Actually, that's funny you asked. I actually have. I pray usually before every book that I write or an idea that I get. I pray about it. And I do actually, I have three daughters, but I actually have two stepchildren also. And one of them is the same age as my oldest daughter, 16. She'll be 17 in July. And I just started thinking about all the things that the teenager girls go through now. I mean, it's mainly geared toward teen girls is what I'm doing it for. And it's kind of a devotional, but at the same time, it's a journal. And I want to incorporate questions or things to help them think about ways to cope with the things that they go through every day. And so there will be, of course, Christian passages from the Bible. And then there will be some writing that I'm going to do. And then they'll have a page where they can actually jot down their ideas or feelings or whatever. Kind of like a devotional journal is what I'm going to work on.
Mm.
And I'm getting ideas very from good. Them also, the things that they're going through. I wanted to incorporate real teens, you know, their life of how they feel. A lot of it was self-image that I have an understanding about, which I think we all have had that to an extent, but I think it's a lot worse for them. I mean, you got all these stars that do the plastic surgeries and look perfect, and, you know, kids are like, well, I don't look like that, or I don't have that perfect body. And just different stuff, relationships, trying to get in relationships way too early at their age, not focusing on the right things, just different stuff.
Yeah. I agree with that, and you know, it seems as though as we grow older, we're just able to hide it better, but I think that we never get out of that battle with ourselves sometimes.
Nice.
And being able to journal, and I'm always a little jealous because I can't seem to do anything with the journaling consistently, and I think that it would be a big help just personally as well as, just be able to get things out of your head and move forward. So I think it's really important for every human being out there to learn how to journal. And if they could do it at a younger age before, you know, they become an adult and get real good at hiding it, I think that that would be very helpful for them moving forward. So I think
the time that I find the easiest is, you know, when you're in your quiet time with God and you're reading your Bible, I always have my journal there also, to jot down things that I may get from what I'm reading, or even when I'm watching preaching on TV, if I happen to be on the, you know, one of the channels that shows the preaching on there, I'll write down things, and then I'll journal kind of how I feel about things that day, and that's the time that I journal. Now, I guess for a teenager, maybe the times that they would journal would be more in the afternoon, you know, when they get home and they're frustrated from school or things just aren't going like they want. That for an adult, I think it's better to do it when, you know, you're spending time with God, because He reveals a lot of things to you when it's a quiet time. So that's when I journal.
Right. Right. And, you know, I have a lot of people that say that they're just not good with the first thing in the morning. They like to do it at the end of the day. And I think that as long as you get there, it doesn't matter what time of the day it is. It just matters if you do it. And if you can incorporate the journaling, and I think that it kind of, well, it gives you proof that God is working in your life. And sometimes we're busy, and we don't pay attention to the small things that really are a lot of things that add up to big things. So I think it's important. So are you going to, in this book, is it going to be, as you said, a devotional and a journal? Is that the way you're going to market the book?
I am. I'm still praying about a title. A lot of times I just start writing and then the title kind of comes to me later. So that's probably how I'll do this one. It'll just come to me. Yeah, that's how I'm going to do it, with the journal and the devotional. So, and I don't know if I'm going to do it
this year,
because a year is a long time. I'll probably either do 6 months max. So.
Now, so do you look at other journals or other devotionals to get ideas, or is this just strictly off of prayer?
Strictly off of prayer. I'm going to be honest. I was a big reader when I was younger. I'm trying to get back into the habit of reading other books besides the Bible, but mainly, honestly, all I read is the Bible. I will read, if I go to a book signing and there's other authors there, I will get their books. You know, it's respect. You know, it's I just decided I'll buy them and I'll read them. But I used to be a huge reader, and I'm trying to get back to reading. But I don't think I've ever really, I can't tell you the last time I've looked at a journal. That's so sad. I have looked at devotionals, like the daily devotionals. I do that. But, no, I haven't looked at a journal in a long time. Not anybody else's, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in, I mean, you have three daughters, a husband, you're going back to school, you're writing books. It's very easy to get caught up in the things. So my question to you is, how do you map out your quiet time? How, I mean, for moms out there that have children and families, and some of them have jobs as well, and they're like going 100 miles an hour, you know, 26 hours a day. How do you, or what do you recommend for them to do to carve out some time that will benefit them?
I recommend, now for me it's a little easier because I homeschool. If I want to let her sleep an extra 30 minutes, I can. And so I can put that in there before she gets up. For those that don't, I mean, like you said when you were first doing your intro, I know we don't like going to bed 30 minutes early. I know we don't like getting up 30 minutes early. I mean, unless you're an extremely happy morning person, which I'm not exactly a morning person. But you have to put God first. I don't care for the excuse of, you know, well, I go to work at 7, so I'm up at 5:30. Well, if you go to bed at 9:30, you're still getting your adequate amount of hours in. And so getting up 30 minutes early shouldn't harm you. It will at first. It will make you groggy and sleepy during the day and tired. But the thing is I've learned that if you put God first in prayer and actually really focus on his word, then the rest of your day is going to go great. You know, of course, you'll have the bumps and stuff along the way, but you still put God first. And some, like you said, like to do it at night. For me, I'm the morning person because I kind of want him going throughout the day with me when I do my studying. At night, I tend to get sleepy and fall asleep in the middle of reading. So I try not to do it at night. I used to, and I caught myself falling asleep. So, but if you are the nighttime, night owl person, then once you get the kids to bed, you got to get them on a schedule. I mean, don't let them go to bed at 12 and then you can't, I mean, you don't have no time because you're tired. Maybe get them in the bed, you know, I don't know, 9 o'clock, depending on when their bedtime is, and making sure after that to kind of relax for a few minutes and then do your reading, and you still have another hour, hour and a half to do what you want. So, like I said, I think we're all easily, I don't think we intend to make excuses or to be forgetful, but I think we just do. I mean, that's, I guess, part of human nature. So we have to learn to change our mindset in order to focus on the things that should be most important to us because, you know, the hierarchy to me is God first, your husband, and then your family. So you have to go right according to that for things to go better.
Yes, it is a very difficult choice, and it's very hard to stay obedient on a daily basis. I have a 3x5 card on my monitor that says obedience. And it is there to remind me because there's a lot of times where we drift off the path legitimately. I mean, you know, sometimes the Facebook post is so interesting, you have to read it. For some reason, you can't go to bed without watching the end of Dancing with the Stars. So, I mean, we have great excuses, but at the end of the day, if we just trust ourselves to be obedient to God, the rest of it seems to work out. The early morning thing goes away, new habits are developed, and it becomes a way of life. So I find that my children used to see me reading in the morning. Now, they didn't want to read, but they would see me reading, and that was the first step, I think, for me.
It is.
To read every morning was to make sure that they seen what I was doing. So there's a lot of ways to go about it. Now, in your book, A Woman's Journey, if a woman reads the book, and I know you said men do. I think men should read a lot of women's books. It might help them to understand women a little bit easier. You know, but what is it that they're saying this book is helping them with? What do you think one or two of the bullet points in this book is going to help with a woman that reads the book? What is she going to get out of it?
Well, here lately, what I've gotten a lot of is people from different places. New York, for instance, there was a lady that reached out to me, and she was having she had gotten out of church, but she was also having problems in her marriage. And I've prayed and talked with her and counseled her a little bit, and actually she's back in the church, and she's in counseling with her husband. So there is a part in the book about marriage that I have been previously married. I was young. At the time, I knew I shouldn't have got married, but I did anyway. I felt God talking to me the whole time, and I pretty much disobeyed him. Unfortunately, that marriage ended with adultery. But this one, I've been married now. I've been with him 9 years, but we've been married 8. And in 2012, which wasn't, I mean, when you think about it, it's not that long ago, adultery came into play. He committed adultery again. And this time, though, instead of me being older and knowing that I was in the church or I was trying to live the life of, you know, a Christian, at first I got angry. I let the devil kind of creep in and got vengeful. I couldn't understand what was wrong with me, you know, for two men to do me that way. What was I doing wrong? And the devil, while we were separated, did send somebody from my high school years in, and I started seeing them, and things led to one thing or another, and then I was doing the exact same thing that he was. And then you have people say, well, you guys were separated. Well, we may have been separated, but in God's eyes, we were still married, in my opinion. And so it didn't make me any better than him. He was just the first to do it. And I had started going back to church, and I quit seeing him because I had started praying about it, and I knew it was wrong. I knew it was wrong. And when I started praying, I started getting on my knees more, because a lot of times I don't think we get on our knees to pray. A lot of times we'll lay in the bed, or we'll, you know, just talk in our head or whatever. And I started praying, and I was like, well, Lord, you know, I know what I'm doing is wrong. That's why I've stopped. I want to do your will, not my will, because a lot of times we want to do our own will instead of, you know, his. And if my way at that time would have been just to keep going and leave him alone, because I felt like if you cheat one time, you'll do it again. And so I just said, just show me a sign. I was crying. And when I got done praying, I went to bed, and probably a few hours later, the phone rang, and it was my husband. Now, hence, he had never admitted that he'd done anything. He wouldn't admit it. He called crying and admitted it, and we talked for about 2 hours, and I got off the phone, and I looked up, and I was like, Lord, if this is your sign and this is what you want me to do, I'll do it, but I have no idea how it's going to work. Well, I took him back, and here we are, which there's some good points in there that I hate to say. I don't want to tell it in some ways, but let's just say he had a midnight experience with God, and he got saved a few months after we got back together, and he's been in the church since.
Oh, that's awesome. That is, it's awesome that you were able to both grow from a mistake made in your life, and most of the time people just give up and, you know, go their separate ways. So that's,
well,
that's very
like
commendable. That, yeah.
Marriage is it's what the devil uses to me. I find it really important for me. It's what God's put on my heart is another thing. Is that's my main focal point is because if he can intercede in the family through a man and a woman, then he's pretty much destroyed that family. Because I found that a lot of times when people get separated, even if they're in a church, they tend to want to sway back to that sinful nature for some reason. I don't know if it's because the temptations come back twice as hard because you're single again, and then you got your children. I mean, I found my daughter would get so upset she would be sick, she would throw up. And, you know, I started looking at all that and thinking about how, you know, with God, things can be fixed. It's a matter of if you want them to or not. I'm not going to say that all marriages can be fixed when this happens, because a lot of us don't have God in it in the first place. And if you don't put him there, it's too hard to do it in the flesh. You have to have him there. Because if I would have been out of church, and when I say church, that, you know, not necessarily into a church, but in the body of Christ, I'm not so sure we would have worked. So I feel like he has to be in the center, at the forefront, when things like that happen, in any marriage, because every day, is, you know, you have your disagreements. You're two different people.
Well, Sonia, it's time goes quickly here on the show.
Oh, I know.
I'm very excited about the new books coming out. I hope that you'll come back on and help us learn more about the books when you bring them out to market, and that allows us to help you market them as well. And I want to mention your website. People can find you by going to, tell them your website information.
Well, of course, you can find me on Facebook, Sonia Marie McGirt. Instagram is Sonia_author. Twitter is, of course, twitter.com/SoniaMcGirt. I also have soniamcgirt.wordpress.com. Those are the newest ones. And I also do a Google Voice number, which is 404-620-1537. And that's in case somebody just needs to do a speaking arrangement or just need counsel. So those are the outlets that you can reach me at.
And I know that you mentioned that you're moving forward this year looking to get on to more of a speaking platform. So when you get all that in place, please come back and visit with us.
I sure will. Thank you, Tony.
All right. Thank you. Folks, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back up with my second guest, Jenny Marr. And, well, she's someone who is, I believe, now in the Richmond, Virginia area. So it seems like we're covering that side of the country this morning. But make sure to go check out Sonia McGirt. And you can find her by going to Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. Just type in her name, A Woman's Journey. Type it in on Amazon. Get the book. And we'll be right back after this here short break.
Wednesdays at 10:30 Central Time, tune in to Workshop Wednesdays with your host, Tony Gambone. Tony speaks with small business owners, entrepreneurs, authors, and experts who share their stories of success. The best way to find success is to listen to the successful and use their experiences to find your own success. That's what Workshop Wednesdays is all about. To learn more and listen to the show, visit workshop-wednesdays.com. Workshop Wednesdays, Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Central.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone, and we just finished up a great interview with Sonia McGirt out of North Carolina. Find out more about Sonia by going and purchasing her book. Go to Amazon and get A Woman's Journey, Living Through Christ Vicariously. My second guest, Jenny Marr, grew up in California at the age of 18, joined the Air Force to be a medical lab technician. And after being medically discharged, suffering with bipolar disorder and severe depression, she went to live in Denver, Colorado, where she lived for about 13 years and now lives independently and happy in Richmond, Virginia. So without wasting any time, Jenny, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So, Jenny, I'm looking at your phone number, and it looks like Memphis. Have you spent time in Memphis?
Yes. After Colorado, I moved to Memphis to go to a VA where they had a better spinal cord system.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I lived in Memphis for a few years, and that's why I recognized the phone number. So, but anyway, it seems as though when I look at your book, Never Give Up, How Determination and God Gave Me a Better Look at Life, it seems as though you've had your fair share of struggle.
Yes, and I've had more than my fair share.
Yeah, and so was writing the book kind of therapy as well for you?
Yes, it was, because growing up, I never knew how to voice how I felt, so I held everything in, and holding a lot of that in caused not only my depression to get worse, but I started cutting, and I dealt with ulcers, migraines, so I held everything because I didn't know how to talk to people about how I felt. So as I wrote the book, though it brought up some issues that were hard to deal with, it was also a therapy to help, get out some of the things that I needed to, get out.
Now, when you went into the military, did you feel as though that would be the answer?
I hoped it was, because my mom kicked me out when I was 18, so I really had no place to go after graduating high school. So the only answer that I could think of was to go into the military, as I had no place to live or no money to go anywhere to find a place to live. So I hope that was the answer. And I loved being in it. I was medical lab tech, and I loved the job. I loved medicine. It just, the bipolar part of me, just I couldn't get rid of it because, as I said, I wasn't talking, so I wasn't really getting rid of those inner feelings of despair and sadness. And I continued to go through my depression. I wasn't diagnosed with anything at the time. I didn't know I was going through any kind of mental illness or anything. I was just really depressed, and that was when I started to begin to feel the suicidal. So that was when I started to get diagnosed with mental illness.
Now, it says here that you're a painter. Is this something that you've always been good at, or is this something that you just picked up recently and it helps you to get through your process?
I drew a lot when I was younger. I loved art. I loved drawing. I drew mostly with pencil and a few colored pencils, but I never painted. And after I became paralyzed, I didn't think I'd ever be able to do that again because my hands don't work. I can't open and close my hands. They're just fists, so I didn't think I'd be able to draw. And I had tried drawing, but my hand was just too shaky. I couldn't hold the pencil very well. And one day, I just decided to try painting. I painted on my walls a little bit, but it didn't really turn out. So I just tried painting, and it seemed to work. And I prayed about it, and I asked God to help me to figure out what He wanted me to paint. And it just started coming through me, and I just started painting. I use acrylics, so that's easy to erase if I just some water or just to change it. And I did my first painting, and it turned out a lot better than I expected. And as I painted, I just grew love, and it relaxes me whenever I get stressed. It's a way of relaxing, and I just get involved in it, and I think I've become pretty good at it, and a lot of people love my paintings, and they ask me where I get the inspiration from, and I just tell them, you know, I pray about it, and it just kind of comes to me. I draw it out a little bit, and then I start painting, and sometimes it changes, but usually it turns out pretty good, and it's become a major release for me. That and my cats. My cats have been my therapy for me. Whenever I'm sad or, you know, going through some kind of issues, my cats are there that help me out. But, yeah.
So, as I'm reading some information on you here, I'm seeing that, you know, you were diagnosed with a spinal problem, and you were confined to a wheelchair, and you weren't married, and you know, you were down a lonely path, and then it seems as though you found the Lord. So before that, you weren't someone who was following the Lord. This kind of brought you to it?
Yes. Well, mm-hmm. When I grew up, my mom was bipolar, and, excuse me, we were in and out of foster homes. So she was in a Catholic school, so she didn't want have anything to do with God. And I didn't know anything about God to know to look for Him or to look into Him. And so I believed there was a God, but I didn't believe in God. So I previously never opened a Bible. I'd never gone to church. And I suffered. I had no interest in it because I didn't know anything about God or how great it was to be involved in the church and to know God. And so after my suicide attempt, and which caused me to be the quadriplegic, when I woke up, I knew that God had saved me for a reason, because with everything that I did in my suicide attempt, there's no way that I could have survived. So when I woke up, I knew right then from waking up that God had saved me for a reason. But I didn't right then and there start, you know, all of a sudden believing in God and going to church and everything. You know, it was still a process that I went through. And I was told that I'd be in a power chair and that I'd have to live in the hospital the rest of my life because there's nobody, I had no family to help me out, and because of my disabilities, there's no nursing home or any place that was willing to accept me, so I was going to have to stay in the VA the rest of my life, and I wanted to prove everyone wrong. I didn't care what they said, and my level of injury was from the neck down, so I wasn't even able to move my arms. I couldn't do anything. All I could move was my head. And so I did my physical therapy for just 6 months, and then when I went back to the VA in Denver, the treatment there in their nursing home was really bad, and I had infections and sores and just was treated really bad the way I was handled, and I tried on myself to get strong enough to push myself in a manual chair, even though they told me that I wasn't going to get any stronger. So I pushed myself, but it wasn't until a person in the nursing home had asked me if I'd be willing to go to church. And so I agreed, and I had gone to the church in the hospital, and when I went to the church, I was just there by myself. I didn't know anybody. But everyone that was around there just came up to me and patted me on the shoulder and was just saying, you know, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you finally came. We've been waiting for you. And I'm just looking around like, you know, how did these people know I was coming? And so I was just felt right then, I felt accepted. And the pastor or chaplain was talking, and it seemed like he was just talking right to me, like just telling me that things were going to be okay, you know, trust in us, and it'll be okay. So from there, I started reading the Bible, and I still, you know, you can't just go right in from not knowing anything to understanding and knowing everything about God and trusting in everything when you've known nothing. So I tried reading the Bible, and I started, you know, with Genesis, and I still had a lot of really hard times in the hospital where I could have died, and I would pray, and things just continued to get bad, but that's when I went to the Memphis VA. I flew to Memphis in just my wheelchair and two backpacks. That's all I had, and I flew to Memphis, and when I was at Memphis, in the VA hospital, I met a chaplain student who came to sat by me. And I'm 34 years old, you know, so I'm embarrassed about not knowing anything about the Bible. So I don't really feel comfortable asking anyone because I'm embarrassed. So she's sitting next to me, and I finally ask her, you know, what are these different books? Why are these different names? You know, so I didn't know different religions. I didn't know anything. And so she sat with me for hours, for days, just explaining to me. And as I read more and more and, you know, went to church and watched different shows on TV about religion, I picked that I wanted to be Baptist. And I continued reading. I continued talking to her. And I prayed. And, you know, I still had my time. I mean, I was trying to get out and be independent. And I was had situations where I had pleaded for God and things in different ways, things that not like he answered me in a prayer, but there was a time when after I got my foot amputated from an infection that I was upset and I just wanted to go somewhere by myself, and I went to the back of the VA where they had vendors where nobody usually is because they're all gone by 4. This was like 5 o'clock at night, and I just went in the hallway and I just yelled and raised my hands up as high as I could, and I just yelled, please God help me, just help me, Lord. And I went into this area where there wasn't supposed to be anyone there, and there was still a vendor there. And I looked, and I was kind of tearful. And they were selling these shirts that said, "Jesus loves you," and ask, and your prayers will be answered. Just all kind of biblical shirts saying these messages. And I was just looking at him like, he's answering what I've just asked for his help. And so I asked the vendor, "Why are you guys still here? Because you're usually gone at 4. And she told me, she said, "Well, my mom comes to pick us up, and she had car trouble, so she was running late." So I told her what had happened to me that day and before, and they were just like, "Can we pray for you?" And I was just, okay. And it's like those kind of moments that I was just open to, and I was like, there was him answering to me. And every time I wore those shirts, I just felt like he was with me. So when I continued reading the Bible and going to church in the VA, I continued to pray, and I, had moments where I had the chance to build my own house from scratch so that I could live independently, and my loan wasn't going through. And I did one of those bargainings where, if I go to church every day, "Lord, will you grant this loan?" And, of course, it didn't go through because that's not what he wanted for me, but I didn't see it at the time. And it wasn't until, I got closer to God and was going outside the church and going to Sunday school and learning the scriptures. I mean, it took years going from nothing to being, truly understanding and faithful and understanding that he was there for me. It was just his way of doing things. And, of course, at the time, I didn't see it. And when I look back on it, it's like I wasn't meant to get that house because I wasn't meant to live there. And that wasn't his plan for me at the time. I just didn't see it. So now, it's been 10 years since I've been first disabled, but about 6 years that I've been, truly devoted to God, that I now see that, my whole demeanor is positive. And I think now the glass is half full instead of half empty. And when things happen that don't go my way, I always say, "Well, there's a reason for this. I just don't know what it is. So I'm going to let God take care of it, and whatever happens, happens," and just pray about it. And it just lifts the weight off of me that I can trust in God. I've had it where caregivers don't show up to put me in bed, and I can't put myself in bed. So I just pray, and I was like, "God, please help me find somebody." Well, before I would panic and get upset and cry and everything. Now I just pray and I, do some phone calls or something. And it always seems to turn out that someone comes along, or I find someone or someone's available. Well, before I would stress out and get upset. And, I suffered from migraines and ulcers and everything. And now it's just, I was baptized 6 years ago, and I have this open, free spirit that I just have true faith in God, that I understand and trust that whatever bad is going on that I think is bad, I trust that he's not going to give me anything that I can't handle, and that if I put my faith in him, then it will be taken care of. Maybe not the way I want it to at that moment, but it's the way that it needs to be, because he has a plan for me that I just don't understand right then. But I'll understand later when it's time. So I hope that answers your question.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm just so proud of your strength and your faith, and how you will just sit there and pray, and how you see how that makes a difference instead of stressing out. A lot of us, get in less difficult situations than you are in, and we are freaking out. So I think it's just awesome, the ability of believing that you have, that shows others what they can get out of it. So I just can't say thank you enough for being so strong and being so dependent on God. It just shows that other people can do the same. And I mean, there's just so much to it. Now, you've written this book, and do you plan on having another book come out?
I'm planning on working a Christian devotional. I'm not sure about it. I mean, I'd like to focus on getting this book out to, getting it out to people who, I want to touch people who have suffered mental illness or are suffering mental illness or physical disabilities or know somebody, a family member or a friend who is, to get this available to them so that they can see that you could have been, you can be suffering from these things and still, you know, you're not lost. You could still be helped. You still can find God and find faith and find a better place. And I'd like to just focus on reaching as many people as possible. I mean, I'd like to do some inspirational speaking engagements that I'm trying to connect with through my church and through other available outlets. And but I'd like to just focus on reaching out to people who have been in my situation and had never, you know, known anything about God. I mean, because if I wouldn't have gotten paralyzed, I mean, I don't know where I would be right now. And it happened through that way. But, you know, everyone's going to happen a different way. But I'm hoping people will, through reading my book, will see that their life can be better than what it was. And, I mean, it doesn't have to be literally them suffering through it. I mean, if they know a family member or a friend or anyone else, because a lot of people in my church who have read my book have passed it along to other people. So I just really want to focus on helping people through my book to reach out to, as a kind of a devotional to help people that are suffering with different things.
Well, I'll tell you, Jenny, I was just at a conference for authors here in Texas, and I met a gentleman there who was he's a librarian for years, and he says, and I think that your book is a fit for this, to get with your local school librarian and see about putting this book on the shelf there, because it could help a lot of children that are going through what you went through before you got to where you were.
Right.
So you might want to look at that, and then you'll be able to go to the library at school and speak to the children off the book. It's a start of getting speaking opportunities. And the other thing is I want you to know that I've had the same experience. I found the Lord out of desperate from an illness. I would try anything to get cured or fixed or better. And, you know, God was able to show me a miracle that allowed me to be convinced. So I think that that's how the majority of us find our way sometimes. Even if we found the Lord at a younger age, sometimes he does things to us to make us pay attention. So I just can't thank you enough for being a guest on our show today, for being as brave as you are, put this in writing and continue moving forward. I hope you'll come back and visit with us some more.
Yes. I have a website now to open to anyone who's looking into my book that is available. It's called themindbodyandspirit.net. And there you can there's a couple buttons you can click on to look at the Amazon order, or you can just look at more of what my book's about. And it's also open to anyone, any of the media who wants to, for topics of suggestions for other radio shows or other outlets there. It's available on Amazon. And,
yes. So the easiest way, if people type in, if they go to Amazon and type in "never give up," it'll show up. And
there's a lot of titles that say "never give up," so you probably better typing out my name first.
Okay.
And it's Maher. And it'll come up faster that way, because if you type up "never give up," then you're going to get a long line of books.
Yeah, Yeah, you're right. So, I have, I got it. And I posted it up on social media, so I hope that everyone out there will take time out to check out the book. And if you're looking for someone to come and speak, Jenny, how do they contact you?
You can call me at 901-849-2212.
Well, we appreciate your time today, and unfortunately we're out of time, so I want to say thank you once again and wish you, good luck on, and I don't even think you need anything to do with luck. You're on the right path with God, and I think everything is working out to your favor, and I'm just hoping that you'll stay in touch with us and allow us to know how you're helping others.
Yes, I will. Thank you for taking the time to have me.
It's our pleasure. Okay, folks, we're up against the clock, so here's what we're going to do. We're just going to do a quick wrap-up, okay? My first guest, Sonia McGirt, out of North Carolina. You can find her book, A Woman's Journey, Living Through Christ Vicariously. And my second guest, Jenny Maher, M-A-H-E-R. You can find her book on Amazon. If you type in Never Give Up, and her name, Jenny Maher, M-A-H-E-R, J-E-N-N-Y-M-A-H-E-R. Check it out. If you're looking for someone to come and speak, both of these ladies are looking to be connected with. If you're just joining the show lately, make sure to go back to toughtalkchristianradio.com and re-listen to the show as well. That's our show for today. I hope that everyone will have a blessed week. I hope you'll tune in next week and join us again. So, we'll see everyone next week.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.